Exactly.
This is the Mouths of the South podcast.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
The official Dirty South Soccer podcast.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Talking all things Atlanta United FC.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, man.
We are
the Mouths of the South.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
What's up, Atlanta? This is the Mouths of the South podcast, coming at you live from the 680 studios. Right next to SunTrust Park in Marietta. Jay Riddle joining me. Josh Bagriansky with the night off. Sam Franco not feeling too hot, so he's taking the night off as well. But Jay, how goes things?
Well, I just experienced my first baseball game traffic coming in here.
Isn't it horrible?
It's a beautiful studio, but
getting
a pain
here is a nightmare.
To get to
here is the worst.
A baseball match. Mainly because most people are just arriving late. I mean, the game was already going on. And so I was getting in the traffic of people that are like, maybe we'll actually go see the game. And then they park and then they just walk around and wander around the Battery like two blocks away and look at fire trucks and stuff. Yeah. So
fire trucks and stuff.
And SWAT and vehicles stuff outside. Because apparently it's a fair every time there's a baseball game. And the police and the fire department don't need to work.
So I wanted to start... Yeah, I mean, traffic here is a nightmare. I wanted to start with something. We got an email regarding our last episode. Jay, you ran into what we refer to as evil baby. And this was like your Orlando City
man. I used the word evil once in a context, but I don't recall like calling it outright evil baby. But yeah, we'll go with that.
I mean, we dubbed it Evil Baby for some reason.
At the end,
because
I just
didn't like you?
It became a whole character to throw our fierce...
Anyways, this baby... I guess you didn't do a good job of describing this baby. So this baby...
I thought I did a very good job, but...
was an infant, correct?
Yes, it was an infant. It was like 9 months. I don't know. Maybe a year. It was definitely... I don't know. I'm not a baby expert, so I'll go off a sizing scale.
Is this before or after breastfeeding?
It's probably during breastfeeding. Definitely. Yeah.
No teeth. There is no before, right?
I don't even know. I'm not going there. Doesn't have teeth. Yeah.
So we get an email from a gentleman named Eric Hines. Great name. He says, "Hi, guys. Proud father of evil baby here. I feel compelled to set a couple things straight on the encounter prior to the Orlando City match mentioned on the podcast."
And that when you say that, right, I'm prepared to go,
you're thinking the worst.
Right, like, what did I do?
Number one, my daughter was crying because there was a scary guy wearing purple standing next to her.
Right away, confused. I'm not wearing purple.
Let's be fair. Everyone wearing purple was a scary guy.
Well, yeah, there were some strange folks.
Two, she's a huge five-star supporter. And three, she's reached toddler status. He sent us pictures, if you can see. Those on the Facebook live feed. He sent us pictures of the his daughter.
Adorable kids. They look great. One's got the headphones on, and
it's not evil baby.
Those are large babies. Those are large children.
It's not evil baby.
That yeah. Like if I can't pick it up and throw it with one hand, that's how big this infant was. So
it's not evil baby.
So we're confused. We don't know if it's legit. You thought I was referring to your baby, and so you were truly correcting the situation or rectifying.
I just want to, Mr. Hines, you do know who Mr. J. Riddle is. He's this guy. This guy.
Yeah.
It's hard to...
Clearly you would have recognized me with the tattoo and the scarf on my face and the tupole. But it was a woman holding the baby. There was no dad in sight in this scenario. The dad, like if there was a dad, that dad should have straight up run out there and like got it in my face. But that didn't happen, so either it's a terrible father stood by and was laughing, or there was no dad in the situation. Not to say that she's not married, not there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, there was no, I didn't see a father figure in the picture at the time.
He did say he was a faithful podcast listener from the start. Love what we're doing. Keep it up.
We'll try to keep the purples away.
Mr. Hines, I can...
Mind your children.
I can proudly let you know that your baby was not evil baby. Take pride in the fact that your baby is not evil baby. I also wanted to point out that he sent an email to motspodcast@gmail.com, and you can do the same with your thoughts, concerns, questions about the podcast, about Atlanta United. If you just need to get something off your chest, I'll send it to Jay. Jay's pretty much a counselor.
Pretty much. I have many certifications that I've purchased off eBay over the years.
All right, so Atlanta United gets the big win over LA. Well, is it a big win if it's LA Galaxy at this point?
At this point, I think it's just a win, right? One big bucket of win. Just all of it together.
But specifically against LA Galaxy, who's you know, in turmoil at this point.
I guess
it's a big win or is it just a win?
I guess if we had scored a fifth goal, you know, and Toronto already put four up on them.
At
their home, right? So that was a big win. Without Giovinco, without Jozy Altidore, we had all of our tools, and we couldn't put, six up on him? And we'll talk about that later. We took the foot off the gas, I think. We could have probably killed him off with some more, but that's all right. We felt bad for him. We wanted to rest some legs. So
I just don't think we can call it a big game.
Then don't. Stop calling it a big game.
Big win. But people are going to call it a big win because you're up by four.
They keep calling it and keep saying it.
At what point do commentators and MLS national media – At what point is the threshold reached for a big win in Atlanta United standards?
When Arthur Blank stops writing them checks behind the scenes to say all these nice things about us.
But is it now the standard for a big win? 4 goals, 5 goals, 6 goals? Like, what's a big win for Atlanta United at this point?
I don't know. I think, like, you know, what are those in American Ninja Warrior? And they have to go up, like, they have those weird obstacles, and they have to go up, and they have the bar that they hold, and they have to, like, you know, leap the bar to the next rung and the next rung. I think if we go one more rung, there's no rung left. You're just going to free fall. So hopefully we just kind of hang on to that bar at the top and ride that out till through the playoffs. I don't want to be that guy falling in the water looking like an idiot. You know what I mean? Ride it right as the last obstacle. Don't do that.
Yeah, I just want... I think at this point it's 5 goals. You score 5 goals and it's a big win.
Noah Kaplan.
You score by 5 goals.
Noah Kaplan in the Facebook live chat says
you score
that
by five goals.
He
you
thinks
win
four,
by 5 goals.
He thinks 4 counts. So
4 counts?
That's what he says.
All right. Good enough for me.
Okay. Noah, you took it. We're just gonna go with that.
So before we dive into the game, a couple things surrounding the game that we want to get into. First of all, the card stunt before the game, or I guess leading up to kickoff, I thought was fantastic.
That's such a funny name to call it, too. Because, like, when I think of stunt, I'm thinking, like, some jerk-off is pulling a weird stunt. You're like, that's not even funny. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a card stunt. I don't know. I don't know what else to call it. Maybe we can brainstorm in the Facebook live chat, call it something different. But either way, I get nervous about these things because we did one before. They're often used during matches where we don't have a TIFO, but we still want to do something, make a statement. As filler, I forget what the card stunt looked like in Bobby Dodd when we did it. I can't remember. I think it was just 5 stripes. It was very simple. Yeah. And because it required the whole section and the supporter section wasn't set the same way, you know, you saw some holes. It came off okay, but because it was, I think it was daylight out, you don't really get the same effect. In the stadium, and it wasn't the whole supporter section.
It looked better
in the lighting and then the gold reflective
with
the ATL. And since I wasn't in that set, I didn't know. I just knew where there was red and black, so I was thinking we might do another 5 stripes thing. But luckily, I should probably pay more attention in the TIFO meetings. And, I'm going to get my hand slapped. I'm so bad. I need to apologize to the TIFO squad because I've just been off point. I almost forgot that it was Stranger Things Monday, that was the TIFO, and I was telling everybody about it, that it was Stranger Things all day that day. And then
when you got
podcast,
here, yeah, you totally blanked.
Facebook Live had to save me. So anyways, it looked good. It was very simple, and I just think it's expensive because you got these real big cards, poster board type stuff. I mean, you wouldn't think it's super expensive, but, you know, that's coming out of budget. So not something we can do every time.
Well, you've got money, man.
Yeah, I'll just not after this parking over here.
Fork it
the
over.
During game day. That took all my TIFO money.
Yeah, I know. And there's been a lot of discussion. If you've spent any time on Atlanta United Facebook, Atlanta United fans. Atlanta United fans,
yeah.
The Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget what the exact title is, but if you spent any time in the Atlanta United fans Facebook group, I've seen the discussion between, and we're not about to crap on the supporters groups, because I think they've done a fantastic job considering it's year one. There are complaints, though.
Well, that's what the group's for, right? I mean,
it's just one massive forum.
It's just a giant echo chamber of complaining sometimes. Which is fine, you know. I think,
if nothing else, it's just
Well, what is it
it's
this construct, time?
It's constructive feedback. Now it's that the chants that that you hear in the supporter section are kind of repetitive. And
Which to me is a sign that people are actually showing up, repeat customers to the supporter section. Because for a period there, there'd always be some different people that were new to the section. And we still get newbies, and they join right in. But now we have people that they've learned all the chants.
Yeah.
So now they're legitimately like, well, what's next?
The way I looked at it when I first saw those things, we have a lot of impatient soccer fans. They want to get to the point that, you know, the European clubs are at, they want to get to the point that Portland Timbers are at. And look, it's year one. Pump the brakes. You guys are doing a fantastic job.
It's Willy Wonka. They're getting the tour of the factory. You know, like, look at this magical place.
You just want it all right now.
And there's me, right? I'm Charlie, where I'm still, like, amazed, right? That, like, oh, my gosh, I got into this place. Like, they let me sit in these seats and stuff. Like, this is for me. And then you're always going to have those people, right, that are throwing temper tantrums, trying to eat all the chocolate. They fall in. They ruin everything. Gosh. Flush you down the Golden Goose chamber. Enough. But to be honest, you know, I don't want to paint any one group or with any strokes, and I honestly have not been really paying much close attention to the group for a couple of months now, but it's not a new complaint or new feedback.
No, it's not. And it's just louder now because we're in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and
there's less to complain about, so it's not getting drowned out with other stuff to complain about.
There's no more standing in line for 4 hours to get a drink.
Right. Guys are leaving in the supporter section, which I was like, don't do that, and they're coming back like 2 minutes before the kickoff in halftime. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, they made it all the way back in time, and they got to sip their beer before the second half kicked off. And I think there's always legitimacy, you know, to these complaints, but the way I operate, and this is the way I operate in business, and this is how I was taught by my dad and my mom, and who are business people, is that if you're going to bring some criticism, right, or feedback, you better have a solution in hand.
A lot of people don't.
A solution, and I'm not saying that you type a bunch of text, like five lines of this is the chant to this song.
That's not a solution. That's just
record it.
Record it
on SoundCloud. You could do it on your phone. Don't put it on the internet. But send it to a trusted source, one of the admins in the Facebook group or something, who will get it to the hands of of the supporters groups, and let's create something together. You know, if we don't need to be. We have the internet. We don't need to be you don't need to be a supporters group member and come to the lair and the secret meetings to be able to get your voice heard. Just create something on your phone on SoundCloud and submit it, you know, boom.
Look, I've been impressed. The only wish I had as, you know, someone who sits on the opposite end, I would love to see the entire supporter section at the beginning of the game, even after the music stopped, do the We Ready chant.
Mm.
Just with arm in arm, swaying back and forth. That to me would be an image that would resonate across the world.
Yeah.
As oh my gosh, officially made it in Atlanta.
To me, it's not necessarily.
Not that it hasn't already, but.
Yeah, to me, it's not necessarily. Like, my thought is sure, it would be nice to have some more chance, and I think that will happen organically, and someone will step up.
I'm not in a hurry for that.
It'll happen.
I mean,
people are just now learning and finishing learning the chance we've had for all season.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that'll happen organically. But what one idea I had is. You know, that I think maybe in the off season or something, you know, capos get together and, you know, talk about chants, but also about what chants may work at better times. And I'll give examples. We have it down to a science of when to use the Viking clap or thunder clap.
It seems a lot, very, very, very
at particular times,
strategic
times, which makes sense because it's very orchestrated, involves the whole stadium. And then that's also the Atlanta United chant. Although, for the first time, one of our capos led the Atlanta United chant first thing, which I've never heard, and that worked well, actually. Yep. The other thing is, it's also about the capos will take time to learn. I think they were just getting used to the Bobby Dodd supporters group section and the ebb and the flow.
And now it's different.
Now it's different. The sound is different. The way that you feel connected to the supporters section is different. The stage is bigger. And eventually, you know, they'll develop a rhythm and a sense for when to read the game more effectively and bring in chance. And that's something that is not done in a first year. you know, some of the guys I think have been doing and watching the stuff for a lot, you know, their whole lives, you know, and some of the capos, maybe it's their first time they're doing something like this. So it's going to take time. And, you know, maybe new blood will get introduced next season and there'll be different things that can improve it. Either way, I've seen only improvement going forward. And I think any frustrations bring solutions. And for those that are sick of hearing the complaining, go to the other group, the Unleashed group. There's no complaining there. It's like a rule. You could complain, but you'll get trolled for complaining. Whereas in the other group, sometimes people try to offer and be helpful and get trolled. And Unleashed, you actually get trolled for complaining too much. But either way, there's plenty of groups for everybody. At the end of the day, as I think it was J-Rock or one of the guys in Unleashed said, we're all Atlanta United at the end of the day. And what matters is that we keep coming together. Doesn't matter if we keep, you know, we're bored of the chants or whatnot. We show up. Then just do it.
Speaking of the We Ready chant, Archie Eversole.
How about that?
That was pretty cool.
Now, I'm going to admit, I am...
you had no idea who he was.
I'm a hip-hop ignoramus, and especially Atlanta hip-hop, because I moved here in 2004. I don't know much about it. I've been learning a lot about it from some members of the Footy Mob, watching videos, you know, listening to Curtis from Footy Mob talk about it. And then also some of the guys, I think at Home Before Dark, they know a bit about hip-hop, Kevin and Tim.
Well, but they think they know.
I'm just kidding. They know.
Sorry, guys.
You know nothing. But Archie Eversole is one I did know, and that's because when we first started doing the We Ready chant, I said, oh, I know this, so I should probably look it up and know who did this chant, right, or who did this based off of. So to see, now I didn't recognize him right away, what he looked like, but then somebody said, oh, it's Archie, and for come back up and participate and
I did see that. I
yeah, they submit Atlanta United tweet out a video later.
Joe Patrick from Dirty South Soccer, he brings binoculars to the press box, and I just peered through. And
what? That's awesome.
I peered through and I saw him leading the We Ready chant, which I thought was pretty cool. And exactly what I saw in like the first couple rows is what I want to see throughout the entire supporter section. And Wednesday night might be a tough ask to ask the supporters group to do anything super crazy.
I was very impressed with the two Wednesday games. Yeah.
I am too. Yeah. I hope it keeps up. If it doesn't, I'm not going to be disappointed because it's a Wednesday night.
Yeah, it may not when there's a nil-nil game going on. I mean, and it's the 70th minute. You know,
people have things to do. I mean, I can understand if they can't make it out on Wednesday. I've been more than impressed with the fans. I think that the complaints are more a product of impatience. And I think a lot of people are going to agree with that. That they just kind of want to get to a certain point without the growth.
Yeah, and I think some people are just social media is a terrible place to give feedback.
Yes.
Because everything comes off as complaining, even though you may be, you know, the tone, if you were to say it to somebody, sounds like you're offering a recommendation. Yeah. But it comes off as you griping, you know, instead. So it's difficult. It's not a perfect place to do those types of things. But it's what we got, you know, and there are, 10,000 members in there. So it's amazing that we haven't burned it all down yet.
Deadspin gave us some love.
I feel very awkward about that.
I do, too. I don't really know how to feel about that. And it was kind of backhanded because they were the ones that started the whole Megatron's booty thing.
Right, right. They're the ones that started the that nomenclature, which, of course, Orlando fans love it. And we adopted ourselves. I hear people use it. I use it. I think it's hilarious. It's not far off, you know, if you've ever seen the videos of it opening and closing.
What do you think Arthur Blank thinks about that?
I think he gets a laugh out of it.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he takes himself too seriously. I don't think he takes himself too seriously. I saw him up there whacking that gold spike.
Deadspin gives us some love, saying that Atlanta United is the best team or most exciting, most fun team in America
which is
right
a weird
now.
Phrase most fun, like
the funnest, the fun, like, the, mo- no, it's the
like,
most.
Like, oh,
fun.
Uncle Bobby's the most fun. You know, like he pulls coins out of your ear. Like,
hey, look, in the realm of American sports, I mean, you got to think soccer's not even the four big sports.
Yeah.
When you throw Atlanta United as one of the most fun teams in America right now, I mean, that's saying a lot. That's saying
this,
a lot. For,
I think this person is purely writing this article to troll Orlando, knowing full well that they can't stay out.
Listen,
of,
I hope so.
They can't stay in their own timelines on Twitter, and they're going to jump on everything. So I just purely think it's just a jab at Orlando. Everybody wants to poke the rivalry with a stick, even though we're not playing them until next season again. people just keep trying to bring it up. Like the Football Times, a Spanish language newspaper, tweeted out an article which was titled, you know, about the fact that Atlanta United could host the MLS All-Star Game, which I know is your favorite. And you're so excited about it.
I hate All-Star Games.
But what it was a trap. You open the article, and all it talks about, instead of talking about all the possible stadiums and cities that could be the MLS All-Star, it's purely built up to talk about, is it going to be Orlando or is it going to be Atlanta? Like, they're the only two choices. And then it talks about,
so they're
just
getting us even
pot.
Like for MLS All-Star Game.
Everybody's trying to get in on this, you know.
So dumb.
Everybody wants to get some clickbait out of this rivalry.
All-Star Games.
The first sentence was like, and they played a game against each other, and there's like one sentence, and then it just goes into this whole thing about our stadiums versus each other and how Orlando could draw people because of Disney World, which is hilarious. Anyways.
Well, lastly, before we jump into the game, those watching on Facebook Live can see this. The Hater's Guide to LA Galaxy. One of the funniest things I think Dirty South Soccer has ever put together. Big props to Sam Jones. He's the mastermind behind this whole thing. It is fantastic. Is hilarious. I read before LA Galaxy. You read it after, and it's just as funny. It's the whole thing. Just you're gonna laugh out loud at least a few times during reading this. You know, and I don't laugh out loud a lot when I'm reading something.
You know how they just did the video about how kind of to put to bed the whole moniker of bad sports town and all that, and really well done. And I think they should make a cartoon animated,
like a sketch, like a SNL sketch,
or animate it. Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't care.
I'll be
someone
a voice.
Do it. I'll do it too.
If you're listening, Rob Usry or whoever,
I'm happy to contribute to
you've
this.
You've got two voice actors right here.
We got a radio studio.
Yeah.
What's up?
Just no Disney characters.
Nope.
We'll get sued.
All right. Atlanta United gets that 4-0 win against LA Galaxy. And listen, for the first 10 minutes or so, I was a little nervous because LA Galaxy did get off to a rather good start. They held Atlanta United in their own defensive third for a large portion of that, you know, opening 10, 12 minutes or so. And I got a little nervous. There were a few moments. There was a one shot on Guzan from, I think it was Giovanni Dos Santos.
Yes.
That without that save from Guzan, that's going in. And
really?
That's
I couldn't tell from the angle of the highlights, the DVR when I was watching.
I thought it was going in. I think.
And I was
again,
also
center
behind
save.
The capo stand, so I couldn't, it was kind of blocked. I couldn't see it. So
if it's not saved by Guzan, it's going in. And
Or hitting the woodwork at the least.
Yeah. And then you get an unbelievable, I think the four best consecutive goals we've seen out of Atlanta United.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean four? But we just saw seven in New England. Like, what do you
So that's
about?
What I'm saying. Like, so you saw the seven in New England. You saw the three against FC Dallas. I think that these goals were the best string of goals we've seen. And forget the number. It could have been two goals. It could have been four goals. It could have been seven.
Are you talking about everything from the lead up to the play to the to everything?
It never in Atlanta United short history has it looked that easy to score four goals as quickly as they did.
Okay.
It was the best string of goals that they scored this season so far. And, you know, Minnesota had six goals, for example, and those goals were good goals. I'm not taking anything away from those goals, but it didn't look as good and
boring.
As easy and as beautiful as the goals. I mean, Yamil Assad, they should have built a statue right there on the middle of the field for him because that was one of the more impressive performances.
I couldn't believe that
player.
Was his first golden spike.
You know what? Did he not get the first one? Because he scored the opening goal at Bobby Dodd.
I thought the announcer said when he did it that it was his first one, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone in Facebook.
I want to say,
but...
and correct us if you have the information, but I'm pretty sure Yamil Assad at least has one golden spike.
Because
in the first game.
They weren't giving out the guitars yet.
That I don't know.
Because he's the first, he joined the band when they.
Right.
So,
I know he got his first guitar, but that's different than. I think that's from MLS. That's not Atlanta United.
I don't know who it is. It's a guy, it's a local Atlanta artist, but. That does it. So I don't know. Either way, we'll get into the breakdown of the goals in a second. But first, I have to give you props because, I was sort of, shaming you into the fact that you kept bringing up Jermaine Jones and he was going to kill somebody.
I
was like, you're going to bring the bad juju. And you called it Jermaine Jones. You said he would act like a petulant, overpaid man-child, and that's exactly what he did. He hit out at Tito, kicked in the back. Although I had to watch the replay with the angle that I had for like six, seven times to know exactly, like was weird. Like Why were you doing that? Like, you know, was it VAR that caught it or the ref caught it first? The ref gave him the red and then gave him the red again. So it was clearly he saw the kick.
He saw the kick. I think because it happened right in front of the Atlanta United bench, I think that helped.
Well, at first I wasn't sure that maybe like it looked like something happened. Then when he showed the red, I was like, well, the ref's just giving him a red card because he's a terrible human being. I mean, he wants him to get off the field. Like the ref was like, it's time for you to go.
He clearly kicked out. he gets sent off. And again, a frustrated Jermaine Jones is not a Jermaine Jones you want to play against. Going down three goals, that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, all right, who's the first guy to
get
hurt?
He's going to mark my words.
And we're lucky. Look, we're lucky that it wasn't worse on Tito.
That's what I'm saying. Thankfully. His temper flared that early on.
I love Tito to show his back, take a picture of it, and put it on social media. That we can see the
oh, I love those things. Afterwards, people are like, oh, it wasn't that bad. And then you see, like, he's had 27 stitches.
Yeah.
The other thing is, apart from Jermaine Jones being a trash bag that needs to be taken out to the woodshed at this point, and he just needs to retire, he's going to end a career. Mark my words, he's going to break somebody's leg in half. And then he's going to retire happily with his millions of dollars. He's one of these lower, less paid players, you know, that's going to happen to.
I mean, he may still get a call up to U.S. men's national team. He may.
Well, I guess everybody's fine when he's breaking other national teams' legs, but I think I don't want to see any of that happen. You know, right, nobody wants to see that. So moving on from that, hopefully L.A. dumps him somewhere, maybe out of the U.S., so I don't have to watch him in MLS anymore. LGP, you talk about the early minutes, and so it's easy to – we talked about this beforehand. It's easy to applaud him because we missed him at the back. We understood with a couple of plays early on in the first 6 minutes or so why we missed him. He really had Zardes numbered on the first time where there was just in the box, there was just a ball.
It was a chip over.
Well, no, I think the chip over was when he kind of lost him, right? And then.
Yeah, he loses him there.
Yeah, he lost him there.
And he recovers.
Cole whipped one in.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the first one was McCann got smoked by Alessandrini. And we realized why it's so important to have Larenowitz and LGP, because they were both there.
Yeah, they can make up ground.
Both there. Boom. Waiting for him. So when Alessandrini smoked McCann, and by the way, I hate you for that name. I'm never going to say this after that. Keep messing it up. On the wing. But both LGP and Larenowitz were there to cover this time. So that was one thing I noticed that, you know, if it happened with our previous formation, it would have been bad news. And then after that, we were already probing in the fourth minute. I mean, it's not like we were just sustained pressure for 10 minutes. We were getting on the counterattack.
Oh, no, we were, yeah.
Assad was probing, he got Miggy in the box. So I think that kind of woke their eyes. They were like, well, this is pretty easy. I mean, because it was very simple. Assad was just, boom, my man to Miggy. Miggy
put a couple passes together. You're good.
Miggy didn't get his shot got blocked on the left post. And then Guzan tipped that save you were talking about from Giovanni Dos Santos, which was absolutely terrible. He totally mugged that. Should have gotten that one, I think, too, as well.
Giassi, the one that chip over to Giassi? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So either way, I think it was Jermaine Jones that lobbed over to the defender to Zardes. And then Zardes made an absolute muck of it.
Yep.
LGP had lost him, but then it came in and looked
guy.
Good.
Yeah, it was LGP's guy. Loses Zardes. Recovers.
But then got to be Superman.
And then looks like an all-star.
And that's all
because,
people remember.
Like, it's his fault that Giassi Zardes is open for that chair.
Zardes mucked it so bad that Guzan would have saved it anyways, but it was just LGP made the smooth move, just sliding in between Guzan and Zardes with a leg, just like almost like he was sliding in with his hand up on his head, like, hey guys.
I remember thinking, wait, you're the reason you had to recover as hard as you did.
And then he totally acted like he saved the day. Like, that was, like, you know, yeah.
Guzan, no idea, had paid no attention to what Perez was doing, only saw the slide in the block and gives him a big high five, big pat on the butt. I'm like, you realize he could have cost you the first goal.
Yeah, and we could have had
to Giassi Zardes, no less.
Yeah, and Joseph could have even been broken in earlier, around the 10th minute. Tito, you know, with another beautiful pass, but he likes to put some power on that ball sometimes, a little too much for Joseph that time. And otherwise, if he had gotten that, he would have broken away. He would have scored for sure. And then I think a minute later, they were kind of using that same strategy of lobbing balls over, and that's when LGP did body Zardes near the center half line. They just lobbed a ball over to try to do that. They said, hey, that worked last time. LGP just bodied Zardes. Even though Zardes is way bigger than LGP, just bodied him. So Zardes never got comfortable, and he ended up heading this ball into his own hand. Like, that was pretty much sums up, along with the nutmegs that happened later.
Yeah. All right, so let's actually talk about those nutmegs, because the first two goals, there's three nutmegs. And it's kind of hilarious how this works out. So the first goal, if you don't recall, is Assad going down that left side. Look, Rafa Garcia had a nightmare of a game. That pass.
Rafa Garcia looked like an absolute clown. I mean, Assad played him.
Oh, my gosh.
Played me. I didn't think he was going to do it. I thought Assad was going to pass back. I thought he's done. But he took him on. So
he gets around Rafa Garcia, and that pass to Martinez at the top of the six, that goes through Jermaine Jones' legs.
Right, and I didn't even notice that until you mentioned it.
It goes through Jermaine Jones' legs.
Until I watched the playback.
That's the first nutmeg. And then we all remember Walks' amazing nutmeg to Tito. Tito, who I got to give major props to. I mean, I am fully on board with the thought that Mercedes-Benz Stadium is helping this guy's game the most out of any player.
I call him the field turf ninja.
He's finding himself in so much space.
He just pops up.
He's making some amazing runs.
He's like a groundhog. You know the things at the video games where you pound the thing with the mallet because they keep popping up. You don't know where they're going to be.
He does such a great job of making his team much more dangerous than in previous matches before Mercedes-Benz, to be honest. That was my biggest problem. And now that he's in so much more space, or he's able to, or guys like Walks is so much further out wide, it opens up space on that back line, on the opposing back line, and he's good to go. And that's exactly how that second goal opens up. He makes that amazing run, that pass through the legs of, I think, Ashley Cole, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Walks nutmegs Ashley Cole. There's a scramble in the box. Miggy wants it. He takes a shot. It's blocked.
The shot that Assad takes goes through, and I can't really tell who it was, but it goes to the legs of another LA Galaxy
player. I think it was
player.
Garcia or Ciani or whatever his name is. So either way, I think it was Garcia again was back there. It was 25. But, yeah, not looking good. And then Assad.
Two goals, three nutmegs.
Assad proceeds to sing karaoke, apparently. We find out later he was literally singing something.
He pulls the mic out of the corner.
Right. Dirty South Soccer tweeted out, asked which song is he singing. I personally said that he was singing Don't Stop Believin'.
I mean, he had like the bounce, and it was like a reggaeton song.
Reggaeton? How do you get that from? It could be ska.
Look at the bounce. Like, look, we're watching the replay right now if you're not watching. But look at it. That's reggaeton right there. That's all reggaeton right there. Come on.
That could be.
That's reggaeton right there.
That could be Tejano music, too.
No.
Yeah.
He's from Argentina.
Whatever. What, Argentinians don't like Tejano music?
You're not cultured, man.
Well, he's not Flamengo, that's for sure. So.
You're not cultured. For those wondering what the light situation is going on, in the 680 studio, for some reason at 10 o'clock, I think it's a energy saving mechanism, the lights just turn off at 10 p.m. We start recording at 9:30, and half hour into this every time.
But what they don't know is we're polluters, so we turn it back on.
Yeah, I would, but I don't want to leave Jay by himself. All right, so, and then we got the the Martinez goal. And that was, I think...
What, the first? You're talking about the first one?
The first goal. I completely missed that one. I first
went
through this.
Well, we talked about it. We talked about the fact that Assad dummy Garcia. It's just a...
That's right.
Yeah. And you talked about Jermaine Jones. But what we didn't talk about was the fact that the lead-up to that play, and maybe this is where you're getting at, that the goals are just the procession
of
goals.
It was too easy.
It was Perez out the back.
Yep.
Again, to Tito, to Miggy, to Assad, to Joseph. You know, crazy. So... they're just running on all cylinders right now. But the fourth goal with Miggy. Now, I wanted him to take it because I felt bad for the guy. I felt, you know, he's hit the woodwork, four times last week. And even though Joseph's on the right, I think everybody's thinking, pass to Joseph. But he could even dribble past the keeper.
If he misses that goal. Joseph is like on fire.
Well, this is why this is important, because if he basically slaughtered the block chip ghost of opening days past versus New York Red Bulls, which is exactly what happened. He tried to chip the keeper and it just didn't come off. And we're thinking, oh, it's early, you know, great, great. Good that he tried it. I don't think anybody would be standing there like, good that he tried that, or like, you know, it'd be, no, why didn't you pass it to Joseph? Let Joseph get the hat trick, you know, because Barmy's like, Joseph, hat trick, Joseph, hat trick.
It was kind of amazing how everyone's mind went to the first chip attempt in Atlanta United history against the New York Red Bulls by Miggy. That obviously didn't go through because
could have been a totally different game. Yeah.
It was similar. He's got to get more. I heard this in soccer down here, so I'm kind of stealing it. But he's got to get more. He's got.
It's open source. Jason Longshore.
He's more in that chip.
Yeah.
He's more a little more height. But yeah, I mean, I cannot talk highly enough of Tito at this point. The runs he's making, the way he's getting his involved, his teammates involved, the way he's opened up space for.
This is so strange to hear so much Tito love this past week, you know, and well deserved. But it's just it's so different
to me, at least. It's night and day, the Tito we saw before Mercedes Benz and the Tito we're seeing now in Mercedes Benz. And I think he's been the biggest factor in Atlanta United's success in these last. I mean, outside of the other things that have gone on, but he's been the biggest factor in the success that Atlanta United has had in the Benz. Is his ability to get in space, to play balls, to create more space for his teammates to run into or to receive a pass. I mean, the run he had to Assad was equally as fantastic on the Assad's second goal. I mean, both of them were just unbelievable.
Well, and since we're speaking about Argentinians, Robin corrects me in the Facebook live chat, is Tango.
And yeah, what did you say?
I said Flamengo, which is horribly wrong. But this is, I'm a noob, so this is what you get. This is what you get. So maybe it was Tango. Maybe it was doing the Tango.
I feel like Almirón, 4-0, you usually don't celebrate goals. But you saw Almirón, he rounds the corner on that far side. Well, the far side for the TV. And then goes into the arms of, I think it's Assad.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the pumps. He does the... The goal pumps, mm-hmm. the celebrating.
Is that what they're called? Goal pumps?
I don't know what they're called.
This is a new pumps. Dance move. The goal
they're
pumps.
The pumps. No, and you could feel that sense of relief, I feel like, come off his shoulders that he's, after so many attempts, after hitting so many crossbars, he's finally got one in. And he's got a beautiful goal, and it's a nice goal, and it's a chipped goal over the keeper that, I mean, seals the game. In the first half,
yeah, I mean the other guys couldn't catch him. He was so psyched. He just kept running. He ran to the corner flag and looped it like he was going to run a lap. So yeah, that was very, very cool. And it brings up some interesting. Actually, before I get to that, what do you think of Brandon Vasquez's red card? Because I don't have nothing to talk about in the second half.
I thought it was a little much, but I think because it even remotely looks like he sort of kicked out, not to the extent that Jermaine Jones did.
Not like a purposeful kick out, just dangerous play kick out. Like,
because it sort of kind of looks like the same thing Jermaine Jones did, except he doesn't make...
It set the precedent with Jermaine. So Jermaine kind of, as much as it was good to get him off the pitch, he kind of bogeyed us.
Jermaine could have gotten away with it if his reputation wasn't as bad as it was.
Yeah.
He probably could have gotten away with what he did.
Maybe. He could have gotten a yellow.
Because it's not like he fully stomped on him. He obviously kicks out.
Except the ref knows he's a piece of hot trash.
Yeah,
so.
But with the reputation Jermaine Jones has,
he's like, Jermaine's going to kill somebody.
You know what he's trying to do. With Vasquez, it's not the same. Clearly not the same. I mean, you hear Lorenowitz after the game. Or maybe it's written in the AJC that it's an honest mistake by an honest player. He did not. There's no malicious intent in that red card.
Yeah, first
it's very unfortunate.
At
for
first,
Vasquez.
I thought that he actually got the ball, and I guess even if he did get the ball, the follow through, if it's still high leg, it could be considered dangerous.
I think the ref. Yeah. I just don't know how you go back and look.
I think
at,
it was a little harsh, but it's
I don't know
still
how
red,
you go back look so. At VAR and think, okay, that's definitely a red card because I
guess he didn't see enough evidence to undo it.
Fine. You want to give him a yellow for that? Fine. Let him have the yellow. But a straight red, that just seemed like too much. Too much for me.
So if we talk about, real quick, the especially when we're talking about the chain of passes between LGP and Tito to Miggy, and et cetera, et cetera. you know, I saw an interesting stat that they threw up on ESPN while I was watching the replay during the match. And this was before all the additional goals and assists.
Right.
Joseph, Miggy, and Villalba scored or assisted on 74% of Atlanta's goals. So out of the 57 at the time,
which, at the time,
42 by them. Now with Assad and what he did, I'm curious to see if you slotted, like, let's remove Tito and then put in Assad. Would it be basically the same statistics at this point, or very close to it? I mean, I know he doesn't have as many goals as Tito, but he's got, what, 12 assists now or something? Anyways, it's just interesting. You swap, one of those guys out, and it doesn't fluctuate too much in terms of percentages of total goals and assists out of the total team.
I don't think that the players are, like, you're not looking at, like, world class. You're not looking at, like, the best players in the world here, but I think it collectively they do so much to help each other in the attack. They're all fantastic players. I'm not saying they're not, but they all do so much collectively to help each other out by either making runs like Tito does, or opening up space like Assad does, or just playing out wide like both our backs do. Almirón being who he is in the middle of the field, Joseph Martinez,
they play like they're on the playground to me.
No.
They've been playing with each other for 10 years. That's what that feels like, which is crazy to me.
The little things they do, and they might not even know they're doing it, but the little things they do help each other out so much that that's the success. Success.
It's like a beautiful tango.
Yeah. To bring it all the way around.
Callback.
But no, I mean, again, you look at what Tito can do on the wing and his speed and the runs he's making now in Mercedes-Benz. You look at Assad and the way he can take a player on 1v1 and how he draws the attention of a fullback and honestly what would look like a center back. Well, not what looked like, but what was a center back. The way that Joseph opens up the middle of the field for guys like Almirón. The way that Walk's playing out as wide as he is now, and same with McCann, is going to open up stuff for Tito to run onto. It sounds repetitive, but these are the things that are going to make this team tick moving forward, especially at home. And we're going to get into this a little bit later, but one of the big things in my eyes at this point is you got to get a home playoff game.
Yeah, and
you can't play the first playoff game on the road.
And I think
you have to be at home.
I think at the end of this, we'll have a break, and then we'll talk at the end about playoffs and some stats, because the folks in Facebook Live, and I don't want to leave you guys hanging, do have some interesting stats thrown out. Josh Eisenberg says we have one of the best back lines in MLS this season, third fewest goals allowed, and seventh most clean sheets. And Robin also says, I'm pretty sure Assad did get the first ever spike, but they didn't start giving the guitars until second or third home game. And it's Flamengo. Which I said Flamengo. I didn't say Flamingo. I wasn't like a pink Flamingo. I said Flamengo, but it's Flamenco. Thank you. God, I'm so white. So white. I'm learning. And Noah giving some Walks praise, which it was great to see him back. Glad he came right back in action, had a good game, was able to shake off that juju. That I think that apology helped him. I think wherever he did, the tweet helped him, and it was great.
So I've got some bad news. Jensen Brock reminded me of something that I'm very upset about, and I've been thinking about it all year. And it's now, especially now in these last four games, have really kind of hit home. He asks, Eric, was it you that said you put $100 in Atlanta United to win MLS Cup on the Mouths of the South before the season started? If so, how do your odds feel now? Beginning of the season, it was 100-1. And I said I was going to make a bet.
Where do you place the bet for these things?
Bovada.
Okay. I don't know much about gambling, so.
So, at the beginning of the season, I'm last place in all my fantasy teams in the Premier League. The plan was to put $100 down on Atlanta United, because at the time when the team was being formed,
we saw this influx of players coming in. Is this going to be like Leicester City type money when people were putting it with 1,500-1 or 5,000-1?
Well, if you bet $10 on 100-1, that's what, $1,000?
Because Leicester City was 5,000-1, and people like that put $25 made tens of thousands of dollars off
of
that.
You just add a zero
when they won the league. Yeah.
You know, you put $20 on 100-1 odds, you get $2,000.
So you didn't do it.
I didn't do it.
Not even like $10.
I didn't have money at the time.
This is terrible. Probably that parking over there, SunTrust, with the ball game.
it sucks, but, you know, I'm not going to be mad that I didn't win. Oh, damn it. I'm going to be mad if I didn't win $10,000.
Well, listen.
No, but yeah. So I never actually made that bet, and I feel bad for. I feel bad about it now because right now I feel really good about Atlanta United, and I think this last four game stretch, outside of the extras that have happened in some of these games, I still feel so incredibly good about this team, about the way they played against Orlando City, even though it was a draw. You can chalk that up to a mental lapse by 1, 2, 3 players. You can chalk up the look. Even though they're playing against nine men against New England, it's still an incredible way to win, and an incredible showing by Atlanta United.
You're so analytical sometimes. Can't you just have fun?
Here's the thing. I was thinking about this the other day. Like the way Atlanta United is playing and the way Atlanta United is dominating, this is what you would expect out of like an English Premier team playing an MLS team.
Well,
this is what you would expect. From like a La Liga team playing an MLS team. This is what you expect out of a Bundesliga
team. I'm pretty sure we could beat Arsenal at this point. So it depends which team you're talking about.
Wouldn't you love to see that?
I would love to see it happen. Both my teams? Yeah, heck yeah. But listen, you know what I'm happy about is that we have an interview coming up with the Soccer Cooligans.
Cooligans.
And now we should explain how it's going to work with Facebook Live. So we try to pack in about 45 minutes of content for you guys on Facebook Live, and then we're going
to you guys are going to have to say bye-bye. We're going to say bye-bye to you guys because we can't do...
We don't have the soundboard.
Yeah, we don't have... capabilities that Home Before Dark here has.
They're elite.
The beautiful studios.
We're operating out of a paper bag here.
We have the beautiful studios.
This is just a fake set.
But we don't have the technology to patch them through Facebook Live. So we're going to say bye to you guys. People on the podcast version on iTunes, on Stitcher, hang tight. We'll be right back. And on the other side, Soccer Cooligans coming up.
Yeah. Love you guys.
All right, joining us now on the Mouse of the South podcast, the Soccer Cooligans. And Jay, you know better than I do, so go ahead.
Yes, unfortunately, I've crossed their paths, well, at least in person, Alexis, and I'll be graced with Christian Polanco's presence next week. And then Alexis Carreros, who I've already met, straight out of Bruce Arena's Brooklyn. Welcome, guys.
What's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
No.
Happy to be here.
Before we like really dive in there, one of you guys is from Uruguay, right? Or at least half Uruguayan?
I am half Uruguayan. I'm half Cuban, half Uruguayan,
right,
and this is Alexis Guerreros.
We're going to do the secret over-the-radio Uruguayan handshake because I am also Uruguayan.
Get out of town. What are you doing in Atlanta?
watching Atlanta, I don't know. Living here.
This is rigged. I feel very uncomfortable about
this. Are there other Uruguayans?
Believe it or not, there are Uruguayan restaurants. There are Uruguayan
flags. There's seven guys standing in the corner staring at us very uncomfortably right now.
Like in the corner of the studio. They're all just looking at me, just giving me the thumbs up. Like, yes, you did it. Good job.
They're like, lo hiciste, boludo.
Yeah.
So are you telling me that I could go to when I go to Atlanta next week, I can get a Chivito sandwich?
There's at least one restaurant I know that does that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you're in.
We're doing it.
Beaver Highway.
We are doing it. Write that down for me. Tweet it at me, please. Text it to me.
Done.
I cannot wait.
So done. This is good because I was just going to ask questions about food for the next 45 minutes. So
you know how that's my favorite subject.
Christian's not going to be able to get erect for 3 days.
Christian's been fasting for this whole episode just because of all the food we're going to talk about.
Yeah. No, he's just cooking up some Soylent as we speak.
Oh, it's delicious.
So how long have you guys been doing this? How are you doing podcasts right now? How are you even talking to us? What's happening?
How long we've been doing this, like the Cooligans podcast?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just been a little over 2 years, but Alexis and I, both stand-up comedians, and the rule of being a stand-up comedian nowadays is that you have to have at least a dozen podcasts on your resume.
Oh, I thought the only rule was that you have to stand up.
I'm not even close.
Nope. They've changed the rules.
Okay.
The
rules are done. Yeah, it used to be you had to be popping.
Mark Maron ruined it. He can sit down when he does it. So that I guess that broke the rules. I don't know.
Correct. But we were both doing stand-up comedy for a long time. I've been doing stand-up comedy a little over 9 years.
Yeah.
We were doing podcasts. I used to do this podcast about – I used to talk to comedians about how they dealt with relationships. And that was like – that was my first foray into comedy.
And he learned nothing.
Not a thing. And Alexis used to host a podcast talking to comedians about where he would dissect like their bits. And
we would dissect one of their jokes. It was called Show Me Your Bits, which I'm still thinking of bringing back.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, don't.
I'll be trademarked the name at least. You can hold on to that for a little while.
Yes, of course I did. Everyone listening.
Uruguayan handshake.
But yeah, so Alexis and I, we knew each other through stand-up, and then we used to talk about soccer. I know he was like a big, big soccer fan, and I was like casually into it.
More of a FIFA fan.
Yeah, I was a FIFA fan, FIFA expert. And I
had a poster of Sepp Blatter on his wall.
Yeah, well, you know,
first in line of the movie.
What, you like making extra money playing the tournament circuit or something? Like,
no,
going to kids' 12-year-old's houses and like, shaking them down for FIFA money?
So, but that's how we kind of would connect over. We would play FIFA, and then and that's how we sort of became friends and connected over soccer. And then when NYCFC began 3 years ago, that's when we said like, oh, we should, this is pretty cool. Let's do a soccer project. And then we started doing the Cooligans, and here we are now. We're on the Mouth of the South podcast.
I think we did a video first, right?
That is true.
We did a video first for our YouTube channel, and then we saw 3 views, and we were like, let's also do a podcast.
So you tried the YouTube front first. That was your first
foray. We knew we wanted to do everything. I think when we started, we were just like, you know, a lot of comedians will do sketches and just put them up online every once in a while. A lot of comedians will do a podcast, and maybe it'll last, maybe it won't, like ours did. They came and went. We decided if we're going to do this, let's just do all of it and just keep at it. And, you know, when it comes to American soccer, there's a lot of people with great personalities, but every other sport has, you know, people that are sort of funny for a living that also talk about that sport, you know, whether it be like someone like Adam Carolla or, NFL, NHL, everyone has them. No one was doing that for soccer. And a lot of the soccer podcasts we were finding that were universal about all of MLS were either former players or just people that were hired by the league. You know what I mean? There was nothing that was specifically just like two impassioned, rowdy, dumb New Yorkers, you know, who are also comedians who decided to, you know, just yell facts into a microphone or facts that have no data behind them, you know? And we decided to do that, bring that, you know, New York sports radio voice with a little bit of comedy behind it to soccer.
Well, speaking of Adam Carolla, I think you guys should have Dr. Drew on then. You know, you could talk Christian about relationship advice and, you know, he could talk about, food disorders and stuff with Alexis.
What, loving it too much? Is that a food disorder?
I think there's nothing wrong with that. That's where I fit into that scenario.
The only thing you disagree is with my thoughts on Antico pizza.
Well, you don't know anything about Antico pizza. Then you told me what oven it was by looking at it for half a second. Yeah. And where it was year and whose hands crafted it or whatever. I don't know. But all I know is that you said Atlanta pizza's trash, which I have no understanding of how that's possible unless you went out to eat with another comedian, which explains everything. The budget mom pizza shop, maybe. I don't know.
I can tell you if a pizza is going to be good or bad by looking at it. That's how much I know about
pizza.
That's
like your X-ray vision? It's like pizza vision?
That's a superpower.
No, it's, you know what it is that I've seen enough. It's like, you know, like consider me the Tata Martino of pizza.
Oh, my God.
You know, seriously, Alexis was like, I showed him a picture of Antico I bought that night. And he's like, well, they cooked it maybe a little 25 degrees too long.
Oh my gosh!
Because of the singe on the end of the corner there, you know.
You're a pizza snob.
I would like to say expert,
analyst. They call them analysts.
That's
now.
A hardcore pizza snob right there. That's what that is.
Yeah, I'm the Matt Doyle of pizza.
Oh no!
Hold on. I love how Jay just said. When he was describing what Alexis said, he said 25 degrees too long, as if that's a measurement of time.
No, like the temperature was 25 degrees too hot. that's how I measure things.
Now, do you like assess like the placements of like pepperonis and like the distribution of cheese along that pizza? Like how does it work?
Is that what I look at?
Like tell what a good pizza is going to be a good pizza?
I can tell simply by the bake-up of the crust. The toppings mean nothing on pizza. That's a big mistake people make outside of New York is they care about what the toppings are. Yeah, that's like saying a car is a good one because of the paint job. You know what I mean? It's got nothing to do with that. Tell me about the engine. Tell me about the suspension. Tell me about the bake-up. If the bake-up is nice, I know you got a good pizza. I could tell you how long that dough was left to rise by looking at it.
This is like a full-on analysis, like a halftime recap.
Oh, he's probably doing an expo. I'm surprised there's not a pizza conference he's tagging onto this. I don't think he's actually coming down for Atlanta United. I think there's actually a pizza conference going on in Atlanta, and that's what's happening. Yeah.
Turns out the joke is on Christian. There is no comedy festival.
He's stuck surrounded by pizza booths all day. Just people waving pizza odors at Christian.
You have no idea how much I would love that.
Oh my goodness!
Just keep in mind, I would fight him at that pizza expo. I could care less.
And I would be taking those punches while eating wonderful pizza. I could care less.
Well, I look forward to proving you wrong, or at least understanding and saying that if you do continue to call it trash, I do know that you at least tried the pizza and that there's some context to it. But the reason I brought up how long you guys have been doing this is because, you know, we recently witnessed, for those of us who follow you closely, and watch your videos that you're starting to put more of out now. You have a new studio, and I'm kind of irked by this because, you know, early in my fandom, I was starting to tweet you guys, and I happened to be very open about my newly discovered MLS Topps Cards addiction, and I tweet out a picture expecting empathy of this massive collection. Where you proceeded to make fun of me, and then like 2 months later, you're like unveiling your studio. I'm imagining scarves everywhere. It's a giant wall of MLS Topps cards, like 600 square feet. Like, what is happening?
Well, actually, it turns out they're Upper Deck. We reached out to Upper Deck.
What, some grandmother was like trying to get rid of some cards?
I found a box of five cases of them, like you would have sold at stores, like the boxes they open up at the store.
Yes.
I found five of those for like $20, and it's all from 2012. So I bought them. I just bought them off eBay. And we were trying to figure out how many cards it would take to cover the back wall. And we were doing all the math. And I was like, let me just get these five boxes. That's got to be enough.
Yeah, you turns guys out, are math and not putting – just put them up there and see what happens.
Yeah, but we have like 38 Roger Espinosas. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, how do you get rid of those? That's my problem is I actually paid money for them, which is why I think the main reason I get made fun of is I actually spent hard-earned money. Not $20, like, you know,
yeah.
Like I could have taken my wife out, you know, to a nice dinner, and instead I bought, you know, like 50 crates of MLS Topps cards.
Yeah, this is what separates what we're doing from what you're doing is that you care about the cards.
And you're also ruining your family.
Yeah.
My dog has been very depressed recently after that. Maybe there's something corresponding to that. I haven't been playing with him as much. I've been trying to figure out what to do with all these cards. It takes up space that ordinarily he would have playtime areas. Yeah.
He needs medication. You can't just feed him the cards.
You got to sell some of these cards, buddy.
Maybe send me some of those extra cards you got, and I could, you know, I could spruce up my place with some of those.
I will say the crowning jewel of our wall is the center, sort of, I guess, just the middle three columns. They're all 1994 World Cup cards. So we've got one of Alexi Lalas holding a guitar, giving the rock symbol, you know, the pinky.
So
and the
90s MLS. I love it.
Yeah, there's some of the OG, like, jerseys and stuff. It's really cool. There's one of, I forget who it is, it's just one of the players from England holding a surfboard. Makes no sense.
I mean, have you sent a picture of that card to Alexi?
Yeah, I have. We put it up and we said our what is it? Our cornerstone or something. I forgot what we did. And he wrote us back like great find or something.
Yeah, they got him to do their intro.
Oh, you know what? I think I heard something about that. Yeah.
I think you guys were kidding around, and he was like, "No, I'm going to do it right now."
Yeah, he just jumped right in, and we asked him to just say, "Hey, like, hey, this is Alexi Lalas. You're listening to the Cooligans," and he went on to say like, if there's nobody more important in U.S. soccer than the Cooligans, we were like, okay, we didn't want all that.
Like, ordinarily that would cost $20,000.
Here's your check.
And he stayed on the phone with us for like 40 minutes. I remember he gave us his cell phone number and was like, "I'd love to do your show. Like, let me know, text me." And I texted him a bunch of times. I was out in L.A. doing a couple shows, and I texted him like, "Hey, do you want to meet up and maybe we'll do it in person?" He never responded. And one day I just tried one more time, like, "Hey, we happen to be in the studio if you're available today." And he goes, "Let's do it right now." And it just, that's how fast it happened with Alexi, which was really cool.
We met Alexi Lalas at MLS Cup. And we were at one of like the media mixers, and we just went up to him and was just like, hey, it's, you know, it's an honor to meet you. And we told him, we're like, hey, we're stand-up comedians and we do this soccer podcast. And he was just like, what? Like, you're a comedian? Like what the hell are you doing in here?
Yeah, he's like, why are you at this media mixer?
He was probably like, thank God somebody different in here that I could talk to.
That was the tone of the room, actually.
Yeah, a lot of time when we met anybody, like some of the people at Fox Sports or some of the players or whatever, we just say, hey, we're comedians. And yeah, I imagine in most MLS circles, comedians are not around. So people are like, oh, okay, this is a little different. But Alexi, to his credit, was so supportive. He like heard us out. He was like interested in what we were doing.
Asked us a ton of questions about why we started. And he was like, are you guys a Latino? That's incredible. And, you know, just really got into like what our plan was. And he was asking anyway.
What's the plan?
I don't know, to keep doing this. To keep shitting on people's pizza and hope they invite us out.
Did you ask Alexi? You were like, you want to take me to your favorite pizza place so I can judge your pizza for you while you eat it? Like, that'll be fun.
He's actually a lot bigger than he looks in on TV, so I would just pay attention to whatever he said and go, this is great pizza. Domino's in Pasadena.
This was cooked at the for the correct amount of degrees.
Temperature, yeah.
So you talking about, you know, you got the studio now, you're starting to release clips of your YouTube, some of your podcast clips on YouTube, which I think is really great because you can get it in snippets and you can also see your facial expressions, which I think in comedy is very important. And I don't need that for the rest of the guys when I listen to podcasts. But for you guys, you know, I want to see how you guys interact with each other. And I get a kick out of it, even though if I've listened to the podcast, I'll still go watch the videos, and I really enjoy them. But who is this mysterious Nick? And I'm gonna butcher his name. Ciccolone?
Nick Ciccolone. Ciccolone. Nick. Okay, so Nick is when NYCFC first began, he was I believe he was in high school.
Oh my goodness!
Like his senior year of high school.
It was like
in
his senior year of high school.
Corrupting children, you guys.
Well, we only hang out with barely teens.
That's where you get all the best Topps cards.
Yeah, this guy's got in on all the cards.
Yeah,
he hooked us up with his mom's prescription.
Game on.
Nick was he was a big NYCFC fan, and then he was going away to school in DC, but he was just a listener of the podcast, and he like.
Very
like
supportive.
Since very, very early on when we didn't even know what we were doing. And he was just into it. And then after a couple, you know, this has already been about 2 years, he's been doing some work in school. He's been in journalism and stuff like that. And he just like was interested and wanted to work with us in some capacity. And for us, we're like, first of all, that's incredibly flattering that anybody wants to do anything with us because, again,
we're flattered people even know who we are or listen. Never mind want to help us.
That's more than enough. But Nick has been awesome. I mean, as far as wanting to contribute, wanting to help, just like he just believes in what we're doing and wants to contribute in any way he can. So he's been writing some articles. I know he spoke to you, Jay. He's been like our outreach guy, you know. He's been kind of contacting supporters and trying to get like sort of a background of like different supporters groups. Because our thing is like, you know, for us, I'm not speaking for Alexis, but for me, I know for me personally, I'm very like fascinated by the sort of the significance and the details of all the supporters groups. I like those stories. Like I know. So Tropic Sounders is a supporters group in South Florida, and they follow they support the Seattle Sounders. But
right.
there's always lots of awesome stories like Siege, who was the head of Tropic Sounders. Like right, you know, you guys just dealt with Hurricane Irma.
Yep.
And he's right at this moment, like you know, helping in the relief efforts and
yeah, he's crazy.
He's a crazy human being, but he's been. But just hearing stuff like that,
he single-handedly changed the tone of our Twitter.
Yeah, and there he is. He's like, you know, slandering and dirtying your Twitter timeline, and then saving puppies in Florida.
And he's dragged you into it too. Like, yeah,
oh, I'm all about it. I was already about it. I was just kind of more low key about it, and he kind of just took it out. You know, let me spread my wings a little bit.
There you go. I'm glad he gave you space to find more disgusting gifts, because that's exactly what he does. But like that, I guess, you know, I really don't care about the fans. No, I'm kidding. I agree with Christian. It's cool to get a sort of an insight. And when we started, we said that we didn't just want to be people that were just talking about soccer, but, you know, we also wanted to represent the fans. And that's why we thought it was important for us to go out and get season tickets and be fans of a club, so that we could more readily, or more, I guess, you know, more passionately or more intimately speak about what happens with the league versus just watching the games on TV.
Well, the reason why I spotlight Nick is because I did have some interaction with him, and I wanted to commend you guys for having him on your team, because even though you guys are representing a podcast and talking about all the different teams, and even though you're NYCFC supporters, you talk about regularly, you know, we're trying to look at this, you know, fairly. We're not homers, you know, necessarily. We are fans of our team, and we're going to express that. But he gives you that extra arm because he's just a fan. Like, he's just a fan of everything. His enthusiasm is just, it's mind-blowing. Like, he's like, I'm like, why don't you just move to Atlanta and become an Atlanta United fan? Like, just, why are you in Jersey? Like, you're just, obviously, you want to get a tattoo like me of Atlanta United and just come down here. Crazy. I love the guy. And he just breathes that. He makes you feel like he's into whatever you're doing, and it makes you feel special. I think that also to have, it may be something that maybe you guys wouldn't be able to do quite as well yourselves. To have him, I think, as that extension, I think works very well.
Thank you for that, because we feel the exact same way. And, you know, when we told him when he started working with us, like, we don't, you know, your tone may need to change a little bit. You
like
know,
because, excited schoolboy needs to tone down a little bit.
Yeah, you know, he's also, you know, he's young, and, you know, we try to, because we say, like, when you're talking to people, you're an extension of who we are. But at the same time, like, we want you to be yourself, and, you know, don't hide the fact that you're an NYCFC fan, because you should feel validated as a fan of MLS by being a fan of a
club. He's so Jersey. When he called me to organize, like, an interview and kind of do a pre-interview, like, he's like, hold on, I got to pick up my sister's girlfriend because she got to get to the train station. And hold on, I'll call you back in 2 minutes. And I'm like, wow, yeah. This takes me back. This takes me back before I moved to Atlanta from Connecticut.
He's the best.
Oh, goodness.
He's like a dope, like, 19-year-old kid. Like, he sends us photos like, having beers in Berlin this summer, what are you guys up to? It's yeah. Just like, where, what's happening with your life?
But yeah, but in general, I love Nick, and I love, like, sort of what, like, his enthusiasm represents for what we're doing, because, again, you know, we've been doing stand-up for a long time, and that's been, like, our main focus, and just the fact that we finally have this project that is finally resonating with people. Like, we've been building our skills and personalities in the comedy world. And that's usually, that's kind of what stand-up is for, to some extent, where, like, you think of it. When I started doing stand-up, I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to write the jokes down and you just tell them and build a rapport with an audience. But then you start realizing, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like actually building up all these skills to actually communicate with human beings, that I can bring that into other avenues. And the fact that the Cooligans has resonated with anybody enough, even if it's a college student, to be like, I got to work with these guys, this is so awesome. That in itself is like, all right, we're doing something that's actually pretty unique and cool.
But even to that point, like, Jay was a moment, a watershed moment for us. Because, you know, we have fans that are very active, but in the beginning,
sexually
they were
active.
All, yes, very sexually active, care way more about cards than the family. But we have fans, our first few fans were all NYCFC fans, because they're the people that saw us the most. And they were like, hey, I heard you guys are doing a podcast. And we were able to have, like, face-to-face conversations with them, and then they would listen because they knew us. But as we started to spread, I remember Tropic Sounders, Kale Parker, and Jay Riddle. The moment that the three of you guys sort of came together on Twitter was a watershed moment for us, because we're like, look, we've connected to people we don't know. We have not much in common in the sense of how, you know, where we live and stuff. And we've been able to sort of connect with these folks, and we're starting to build this community online, which is literally what we had, like, our greatest hope was for that. We thought like, oh, we'll just be dumb and players will come on and be like, man, these guys are dumb. And then we'll keep doing that for a while. And eventually people are like, I like these dumb guys. But it seems like you all jumped on board pretty quickly.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about your connection to Atlanta. And we'll talk about, you are coming down here next week. We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, especially in this last week or two, you've been really seemed to enjoy talking about Atlanta United. I think it's helpful that there's a lot of excitement around the team. We've been playing a lot of exciting soccer, breaking a lot of records. And sure, that's been bringing on a lot of, you know, new outside fans and people just watching in awe. But you guys were already talking about Atlanta United before that. Talk a little bit about what do you think about everything that's going on down here?
Well, when the team began, I think for me personally, I know that just I didn't expect to see 70,000 Atlanta United fans.
No one did.
In one place at the same time. I thought that was $2
hot dogs.
To draw.
I thought that was going to be your gross for the first season.
But I think similarly to what was going on probably in Atlanta, when as soon as you saw some of the signings and the strategy that the team was putting in place early on, we were just like, oh my God, I mean, this is legit. This is not a team built to just sell tickets, because when NYCFC first began, it was very obvious what they were trying to do with the signings, like David Villa, let's get the Latino market, Frank Lampard, let's get the New York, people who are fans of EPL, Pirlo, let's get the New York Italians. So it was very obvious, but Atlanta, I went in with like, we're gonna win the first year. I don't know why Minnesota didn't pay attention to that strategy, because they went the complete opposite direction. But once we saw that, we were like, you know what? Like, let's really focus on this team, because they're really doing something different and unique. And we had a feeling that they were gonna look good pretty early on.
Talking about the team is one thing. I think it's very easy because there's so many goals being scored. You have a lot of attractive South American style flair in the style of play. One of the other things, though, that I think gets corresponded a lot, at least with the supporters in Atlanta United and with the team, is hip hop. And I don't know anything about hip hop. I've been learning a lot this year because one of our supporters groups, who I believe are fans of you guys, Footy Mob, incorporate that into a lot of their chants, which became very more well known in this past couple of matches or few matches, because they created some We Ready scarves, and they in fact had Archie Eversole do the spike, bash in the golden spike, which is one of our rituals ahead of the match. And then he came back and directed the supporters section in a We Ready chant from the capo stand. And so, I mean, when you look at this and you think about where MLS was, and I mean, are you going to get hip hop stars coming to NYCFC next year? Is this just a thing in Atlanta? What do you think's going on here?
I would love, oh my God, I would love to bring DMX into the supporters section. We might have to like get some crack, but
oh my gosh,
whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah, are you kidding me? LL Cool J was there,
it's whatever, you know?
I mean, say that's like the senior LPGA.
Well, that's right? How he kind of looks all the time, is whatever. Like,
yeah. I mean, the thing about, as New Yorkers, we invented hip hop in New York. We, obviously, not Christian and I. New York was invented in hip hop was invented in New York. And then we see Atlanta as sort of like this beacon of like what the modern sound is. And I would say the two moments that shocked me the most with Atlanta United before the 70,000 and before every single one of Joseph Martinez's goal celebrations, the two things that shocked me the most were when you got Tata Martino. I was like, wait a minute. You know, if you listen to the podcast ever, you know that I cannot stop talking about Sampaoli, who I think is the greatest coach of all time. Well, he comes from the school of Bielsa, who so does Tata Martino. So I was like, wait a minute, it's happening. We're going to get Sampaoli-style soccer in MLS, which I think American athletes are prepared for. There's no reason why we're not playing it already. That was a big moment for me. And then two, when I saw Waka Flocka at one of the games.
Yeah, that was just a couple games ago, yeah.
Yeah, but then I think even before that, I think Young Jock was the first one I saw, which he's kind of corny, but whatever. I mean, he's old school. And then you guys did a concert with like Migos was a part. I mean, all these things
Mike
are.
Will Made, Mike,
yeah, Mike Will Made it did a whole concert. And things like that mean so much to us because, you know, for the lack of a better term, when we started watching soccer, at least maybe when I did, maybe I'll speak for myself specifically, I noticed that the sport was very much a like a suburban white kid sport. You know what I mean? And like my sensibility coming from Newark, New Jersey, was something that didn't match up well to the other people playing. Unless I was playing with like other Latin kids from my neighborhood, me talking in like more of a hip hop lingo, they didn't understand that. So I always felt different and separate. Atlanta has, you know, forcibly put all of the things that I loved about, you know, soccer all in one package. And the fact that it's in the league that I love just means the world to me. So, you know, as I may not be a fan of Atlanta United, I may not be, you know, rooting for Atlanta United, but in the back of my mind, I have some type of kindred spirit to everything you guys are doing down there. And you guys have been a horrible sports city for a very long time. The fact that you've all actually showed
up.
Listen,
we made a video for that. We put that to bed. There's an official video now, so we're not going to talk about that anymore.
But, you know, I was talking to someone else who's from Atlanta, and I think what they said was Atlanta is the New York of the South. That's where everyone from the South moves to. So like that's your big city, right?
Right. It's a lot of transplants.
So everyone brings with them an NFL team. Everyone
Correct.
Brings with them a baseball
History.
Team, an NHL
yeah.
team. They didn't have a soccer team, so this is their chance to connect with the city of Atlanta. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Like in New York, you connect to the city of New York because, like, you know, a homeless man pooped on you on the subway, so now you're a New Yorker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In Atlanta, you get a soccer team.
I didn't realize that was a thing in New York.
Well, New York, even though it's big, though, New York is also more secular. Or I could live in Manhattan, you know, and never leave like a 6-block radius for a week and feel like I'm completely surrounded and I'm not isolated by any means, but yet you're still separated, from something going on down the block. It's crazy. So New York's even crazier. But I agree.
And
absolutely.
Sure, I mean, it's 8.5 million people. And, you know, you
yeah,
feel
to get
like
anybody to agree
on
anything
in
that city.
You, but then they all go their own way.
Yeah, it's amazing you don't have 6 teams in New York, to be honest.
I know we have technically have a third. I mean, actually, to be honest,
your team doesn't count, guys.
We only have 2 because one of them plays in Jersey.
Yeah, right. Had to take the dig. So listen, here's what I heard. I heard that Atlanta United front office realized that their stadium's so big now that and the pitch is so wide that they could support like another 200 press. So they just have passes to hand out and somehow you want to like some kind of lottery and they're going to let you in or something. Tell us about what's happening. What's going on? You're coming to Atlanta?
We are. We're coming to Atlanta. You know, Antico has tried to stop us from coming in because of my previous thoughts. But yeah, we're going to be a part of the Red Clay Comedy Festival. I think the biggest thing is we've been telling everyone since we started soccer and comedy, they work, it works together, blah, blah, blah. Red Clay Comedy Festival, which is happening September 28th through the 30th, was like, go ahead and try it. And we're like, oh, okay.
It's all that are bad you, pizza they're eating.
It's like, are you really calling our bluff? You know? So We're not only going to be down there for the game on the 27th, which is cool that we get to meet up with all you guys, and we're going to be doing videos from inside and outside the stadium before. But on the 28th, we're actually opening the festival with a live podcast. So a soccer podcast is going to be a part of a comedy festival.
This
Never
is nuts.
Well, explain how that works, because, I mean, you have to tap into a lot. I mean, it's not just – you got to be funny, to be a comedian, you got to tap more than just soccer fans. How does that work?
We're about to find out.
So this is crazy to me because you guys are going. I mean, this has never been done before, right? So this is a total experiment.
100% experiment. And shouts to the guys who run Red Clay Comedy Festival. And this is one of those things that I think can only be done in a city like Atlanta, because, you know, something like this, I think, is something that you guys all get. It's a fun night out. We're going to have players. Julian Gressel is going to be there. Brittany Murphy is going to be there. I'm sorry, Brittany Arnold is going to be there. Brittany Murphy's died a long time ago.
I was about to say, who?
You heard it here, hot take, back from the dead.
Well, you can ask her, but she'll never tell. Brittany Arnold's going
to
be...
I can't wait until Brittany Arnold. She got confused
I'm
with Brittany Murphy.
I'm telling her to listen to this.
God. By the way, if you've ever listened to the Cooligans podcast, you know this is kind of my thing.
Never getting a name
well,
right.
Well, you and Brittany have the Cuban connection, right? We talked about Uruguay, but you're also part Cuban?
Yeah, I'm half Cuban, half Uruguayan. I only really grew up with my Cuban side. So when I speak Spanish, I sound Cuban. So everyone, even my Uruguayan friends call me El Guano. Like, I just sound very Cuban. So she posted something and she said she was Cuban. And I think it's in her Twitter profile. And we jokingly said that we were the only Cubans in all of Atlanta were going to be in one room. And then another Atlanta United fan, Poppy Van Trapp, was like, hey, what about me? And I'm like, Poppy, oh, my yes. God, there's more.
There's mm-hmm. a lot of Cubans in Atlanta.
Yeah, Poppy's great. She'll be there, I think.
A lot of Cuban restaurants. So
are you telling me in the same day I can get a Cuban sandwich and a chivito?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
And they're both going to be amazing.
Okay, well, I mean, look, I'd rather eat that than the pizza.
Listen, we should have done this thing before your first visit. You wouldn't have ended up in some of those terrible places that you were brought.
You're probably right.
Laughing Skull Comedy Festival.
I can't wait. So we're going to be there on the 28th. It's at Argosy. We're going to do a live podcast. We're still kind of figuring out the format, but we've got surprises for everyone. And we'd love to give away two tickets to your fans.
Really? That is exciting.
Let's do it. How do we want to give them away?
Just email soccercooligans@gmail.com with just the subject line MLTS or Miles of the South podcast, and we'll pick one at random.
Or in the subject, tell us which of the hosts you like the best.
Oh, don't do that. Please don't do
this
that.
This is the best idea ever.
I'm going to lose that game.
This is the best idea ever. Stats will be posted on Twitter immediately. Here's following. The thing.
We don't have to tell you guys who won.
Please don't.
We just if we agree with you, we'll randomly pick from the group that picks the host that we agree is the best.
Listen, my hate for Tito Vijada, well, my perceived hate for Tito Vijada by the first half of the season is alone to just take me out of the running altogether.
That's all right. You've been digging yourself out of that hole the last couple podcasts with all the love you've been giving him. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
He has shown up big the last few matches.
Well, I don't think, you know, it's not going to be 70,000 when you're there. It won't be the Azteca experience that you guys alluded to in your last podcast. I really recommend you guys go check out the Soccer Coolins. Why don't you tell them where you're at? Where can people find you? Where can people get tickets to the show next week? Tell them all about it.
So you can go to soccercooligans.com. There's a link right there that says Atlanta. If you want to get tickets, they're only $10. It's going to be really fun. Julian Gressel is going to be there. Brittany Arnold, and maybe Brittany Murphy will make an appearance.
Yeah, and ghost of Brittany Murphy will be there. And we're also efforting some other players. There's a few plates that we're spinning. Hopefully we can get them to land. But yeah, the tickets are only $10, like Christian said, but that will also be $10 off. If you buy that ticket, you get $10 off a pass for the rest of the festival. So check out some amazing comedy. We've got some great comedians coming down. Kyle Kinane, Nikki Glaser. It's going to be awesome. It's going to a whole list of great comics.
And we're also going to be doing stand up throughout the festival. So it's going to be a very unique experience. And I know you had mentioned before about this experiment. And I personally don't even really think of it that much of an experiment, you know, just because most soccer fans, if they have souls, they already like laughing. They already like comedy.
What is that?
It's not too much of a difficult overlap,
if
right?
They have
Alexis,
souls, like,
tell them to stick like to the Brittany notes. Murphy what's happening here? Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Christian Polanco, Alexis Guerreros, and leaders of All Soccer Lives Matter, spreading their message next week. Check them out at the Red Clay Comedy Festival. We'll go ahead and tweet out their Twitter account and that information. You can check them out. And as I said, send an email to them, soccercooligans@gmail.com. Is it, guys?
Yep. With soccercooligans@gmail.com. And don't forget to tell us which host you like the best.
That's right. MOTS podcast in the subject. Win some tickets. Show out in force, guys. Let's show them what it's really about. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for joining us.
See you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.